reading today is to be found in the 9th and in the 10th chapter of the first book of Kings. We have been speaking to you about Solomon and the dedication of the temple, how that he offered up such a wonderful prayer, and how that God likewise gave ear unto his prayer. For we read distinctly that God appeared the second time unto Solomon and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have heard thy petition, and I likewise will do as thou hast asked me to do. I will dwell in this house, and my eye and my heart shall be there perpetually. If thou wilt walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my judgments, then thy throne shall abide forever. And there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if thou wilt not keep my statutes and my ordinances, then I will cast this house out from my sight, and Israel shall become a byword unto all people. And we have here then the wonderful appearance again of the Lord unto Solomon, and giving him to know that he heard his prayer and that he would answer it if Solomon would do as the Lord had commanded him. What a blessing that this God in heaven hears and answers prayer. Have you ever prayed, my hearers, that he would come down into your heart and make your heart a temple, and that he would dwell therein? Has he ever given you any token, any sign to that effect, that he is dwelling within you, that his heart and that his eye is upon you? Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, if he has done this to you in this life. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He did cast out Israel from his sight and the temple likewise, but he never will cast out one of his dear children in whom he has come to dwell. Oh, may it be your prayer, Lord, do come into my heart, do make it a temple of thy Holy Ghost, and do not leave me nor forsake me, but abide there perpetually. What a blessing, my hearers, if we as a church may likewise send up this petition. This was at the dedication of the temple. And what a mercy it is if God will take and dwell amongst us, such creatures as we are. Oh, he has promised that if we walk in his ways and obey his commandments, then he will look down upon us in mercy. Oh, may we and our children obey this great God in this respect, my hearers. For if we do not, then most certainly that which took place with the temple to Jerusalem shall take place with this our abode. For if we walk contrary to God, we cannot expect him to dwell amongst us and to bless us. And now this man Solomon, he was gifted with such remarkable wisdom and so much riches that there was no king like him. All gold was the principal thing that was amongst Solomon and amongst his people. Silver was not even accounted of, we read. So rich was this king, he made everything of gold. And everything that they had was made of gold. And now, my hearers, we find likewise that the fame of this great king Solomon spread far and wide. And in the 10th chapter, we have the Queen of Sheba hearing of the fame of this king Solomon. This place, Sheba, was in the southwestern part of Arabia, somewhere near 1,000 miles away from Jerusalem. It appears that the ships that Solomon had built, they trafficked upon the sea, and these merchants, they went to the shores of this particular country, Sheba, and they were talking in this country about King Solomon. All word was spread around what a rich king he was, what a wise king he was, what a wonderful house he had built to dwell in, And what a wonderful temple he had built for the Lord his God. And oh, what servants he had, and what a wonderful way he had of feeding the people, and how they all were dressed so gorgeously. Now this was the talk of many of the people in the land of Sheba, and it gradually came to the ears of the queen. She heard about this, and she began to wonder whether this was not exaggerated or not, whether they wasn't putting on when they spoke about Solomon. Now it appears likewise that this queen, as she, according to the commentary, was a descendant of Abraham by Keturah. We read of Jokshan that he begot Sheba, and that is why this country was named Sheba. So she had a certain knowledge of the Lord God of Israel. And when she heard from these merchantmen, probably, of Solomon and of the name of the Lord to Jerusalem, as she began to question in her mind whether this was true or not. And she was exercised concerning this, and she couldn't get it off her mind and off her heart. Oh, she thought, is it possible that there's a king that's richer than me, that he's got more gold than I have, and that he has such a beautiful palace, and that he has so many servants, and that he has built such a wonderful temple? And when she heard that God had given him this, all this God that she heard of, this struck her. This made her exercise. Oh, she would like to know this God that Solomon feared, this God that had blessed this man so abundantly. And it exercised her so much that she decided that she would take a journey and she would see for herself whether what she heard was true or not. So she arises and she takes with her a great train of camels and she goes on this long journey to Jerusalem. We find that she came to Jerusalem with a train of camels and of spices and of gold and of costly gems and stones. And then when she came to Jerusalem, she came with many questions on her mind. Oh, she had so many questions she wanted to ask this king. Oh, then if she found that he could answer these questions, then so many problems and so many matters in her mind would be cleared up and she would be able to understand it. And when she came to Jerusalem, as she came to Solomon, and she went in and she saw this king of whom she had heard so much in her country. And all when she seen this king, and she seen the house that he dwelt in, and when she seen the wonderful temple that he had built, and when she came into his house, and she seen the meat of his table, and the order of his servants and their apparel. Oh, she, it says in the Bible, it says that there was no more spirit left in her. Oh, the wonder of it all. She couldn't believe it when she was in her own country, but here she was. She had to believe it. It was true what she had heard in her country. Oh, it was a true report. There was no lies. No, she even says to him, the half of it, she says, was not even told me. Your riches, your splendor, she says, exceeds the report that I have heard in my own land. Oh, this queen of Sheba, my hearers, she is a type of every child of God by nature. This woman, the Bible says, she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the seed, the wisdom of Solomon. The uttermost parts of the earth. That's where you and I are. Oh, my hearers, in and through sin, we are far from God. We are living in the city of destruction. Oh, we are without God, without hope, and without Christ in this world. This is your sad state and condition. This is the condition of us all by nature, my hearers. Oh, what an awful state we are in. And now in this faraway country, there came the report of this king. Solomon is an eminent type of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, my hearers, the report of King Jesus has come from one end of the world to the other. All their voices have gone out through all the earth. And we in this great country, we likewise in America, have heard of King Jesus. We have heard of how rich he is. We have heard how wise he is. And we have heard that he is a just king, a holy king, a righteous king. But we likewise have heard that he is a merciful king and a compassionate king, and that he turneth none away that cometh unto him. My hearers, how long have you been hearing this report? What has this report done to you? For the most part, my hearers, the report is passed by. Most of the hearers of the gospel, they pay no attention to this report. No matter how sweet the gospel sounds and how a minister may play upon the flute, it does not affect them at all. They have no interest in this king that is being set before them. But thanks be to God, there are some like this queen. When she heard about King Solomon, she immediately became exercised. Oh, are there any amongst my hearers? Has the report ever reached your heart? Have you ever heard anything of this king that has struck your heart, that has affected you, that has brought you into exercises concerning what you have heard? Oh, this king that I am speaking about, he is so rich. Oh, he is the owner of this great universe. The world and the fullness thereof belongs unto this king. Oh, he is rich in this way, but he is likewise rich in mercy. He is rich in love. Oh, he is rich in pity and in compassion. Oh, this glorious king, my hearers, he invites sinners to come unto him. Or has he invited you? Have you at the invitation arisen? Oh, this queen, she was so exercised that she immediately arose to take this long journey. Have any of you arisen? Have any of you been brought out of that state in which you were born in? Have you come to that decision that you would say, I will go to this king. I have heard so much about him. It has so affected my heart. Oh, I wonder if this king would receive such a sinner like me, such a creature as I am. I have heard that he turns none away, but oh, I wonder if he would take me. Are you exercised about this, my hearers? The report has never affected your heart. Oh, this woman, she made a great journey, a long journey. And it is sometimes a long journey for a soul before it comes to this king and is given to see this king. But blessed are they that have been given to hear the report of this king, and have been brought out of that state of misery and death in which we all are in, and have set your footsteps upon the way to Canaan, on the way to heaven, on the way to that celestial city, to see this glorious king. And now when this queen came to this city, and then as she came to him with many hard questions, oh, I wonder if there are any souls amongst me that have so many hard questions. Oh, when she came to this king, she began to pry him and question him about this and about that. And there wasn't anything that she asked him that he did not answer her. Oh, he knew just what she wanted to know. He was so wise, and he was so wonderful to her. She came to Jerusalem. My hearers, that is where a soul comes. It comes to the house of God, which is a type of the city of Jerusalem. It comes to the church, and in this church, they begin to put their questions to the Lord. Could it be that he would have mercy upon me? Could it be that he would receive such a sinner like me? Oh, this great king, this holy king, this just king, this righteous king. And all my hearers, how sweet the gospel sounds then to such a soul. Oh, it's so comforted, it's so encouraged. All the questions and all the problems that it has, they're all answered as the servant of God begins to explain the message that he has to bring. Oh, how wonderful it is for such a soul when it comes to the house of God and is nourished and is fed and is strengthened by the word and by the spirit of bringing it into the heart. And now this queen, when she beheld this king, how that he had built such a glorious temple, and how that he went up to this temple to offer and to sacrifice. How earnest, how serious, how godly this king was as she watched his ascent into the temple. And when she came to the palace where he dwelt, and she seen all the servants that he had and how they were dressed, and she seen the meat on his table, oh, this queen, it says that there was no more spirit left in her. This is a type, my hearers, and a comparison when a child of God is given a sight of King Jesus. Oh, what a glorious sight it is when Jesus reveals himself to a poor sinner. Oh, when they be given to see how that he is at the right hand of the Father, how that he is interceding there, placing his merits, his death, his sufferings before the Father on behalf of his church, and his soul is given to see that it is included in it. Oh, when it sees the earnestness, the seriousness of this glorious Savior. Oh, when it is given to see something of his residence, of that palace where he dwells in heaven above, where there is mansions prepared for them. Oh, when they are given to view this by faith and to believe for themselves that that's their home, that that's where they're going, that that's where they will be when they come to die. Oh, then my hearers, they lose themselves. There's no more spirit left in such a soul at times. Have you ever had such a sight? Let me ask you another question. Would you like to have such a sight? Is it your earnest prayer that he would reveal himself unto you? Or that you would have such a sight of his glory and of his majesty and of his love and of his pity and of his compassion towards you, an individual? Oh, I hope there may be some amongst my hearers that are exercised concerning this glorious king who Solomon was a glorious type of. And now this queen, as she began to speak unto this king, and she says unto him, the half of it was not told me, she says. All thy riches and thy glory exceedeth even the report that I have heard in my own land. And oh, if ever you are given such a sight of Jesus, my hearers, then you will begin to say, oh, the report that I heard in my own land, that report that I couldn't believe, that I thought was not true, oh, that report is true, because faith in exercise makes it true. And oh, then you likewise will say, oh, the half of it I have not heard while I was here below. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, if we may be brought by the Spirit of God as this queen was brought naturally to view the glories of Solomon. And when she seen these servants standing round his table and waiting upon him, and she says, "Blessed are these thy servants who stand here continually and may see thee and watch this continually." Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, if we may be given a sight of glory and may be given to see some whom we have known here below standing there in glory above. Oh, wouldn't you want to be there? Oh, wouldn't you want to be delivered from this clay hut? Wouldn't you want to take the wings of an angel and fly away and be there at rest? Oh, what a blessed place that is to see Jesus forever and ever. These servants, they saw this king continually. They were there at his right hand. And so it will be with every seeking soul. Every true seeker will in his own time and in his own way be given to see and to stand. As this queen was jealous of these servants, so that seeking soul will not be jealous anymore, but will be there and will behold the glory of the Lord forever and ever. And now after this queen, she gave unto Solomon so many talents of gold, 120 talents of gold. It amounted to almost 7,000 pounds of gold that she gave unto him. She gave likewise spices and precious stones. And then she presented these things to the king, and he received them. All these things, my hearers, are spiritually the types of the desires and the longings of sinners. They present these unto the king. They are his own work. They present his word of promise given unto them, which is pure gold, for the word of God is called pure gold. Oh, this queen then, she presented spices and ointments and perfumes unto him, so sinners may come to the Lord and present unto him his own work, what he has done in their hearts. And what a blessing when he may shine down upon it and give a witness in their hearts that it is his work. And now this queen, after seeing all this and speaking unto the king, we find that she had to return to her own land, that she had to go back to her own country. And my hearers, this is a sad experience for a soul. Oh, if ever you've been given to see something of the beauty and the glory of Jesus Christ in and through faith, oh, you'd want to stay there. You'd want to live there forever. You'd never want to go out from his presence. But this is the sad part of it. This woman had to come back to her own country. And so every soul has to come back to itself. And what does it find in itself? Oh, it finds itself to be a miserable creature. After all what it has experienced and all what it has seen of the glory of the Lord, it comes back to its own clay hut, and it has to live out what it has become in Adam, its covenant head. And all the memory of it sometimes is up here, but the sweetness that was in here is all gone again. Oh, they can recite and tell you what happened, but they don't have any life, any feeling of it anymore. Oh, this is the sad stated condition of so many sinners who have been given something of the glory of the Lord in their hearts, but they come back, and there they are. Oh, and this don't happen too often, my hearers. If it happens once or twice in your life, it's a wonderful thing. The Lord appeared twice unto Solomon. Has he ever appeared unto you? Have you ever seen something of what I'm trying to describe? Oh, I wish he would appear to every soul here. I could graciously say that from my heart. I wish that he would. And I know then that you would love this king. You would want to follow after this king. You would want to walk with him and talk with him. Oh, blessed are they who have learned to know themselves as great sinners in his sight and are still looking and longing
for a revelation of him to their hearts, for they can't live or die without him. Now this woman then returned back to her own land, and so we have to return back after being on the Mount of Transfiguration, after having seen so much of the glory of Jesus, the disciples, they had to come down from the mount, and so do every one of us who experience something like this. And now we find that this man, Solomon, he was such a wonderful person. Oh, he lived so close to the Lord. He loved the Lord, and he walked in the ways of the Lord. But what do we read now in the next chapter, my hearers? Oh, it's a sad story that we have to tell you about this man, Solomon. Oh, he shined out so brilliantly as a type of Christ. But now in this next chapter we find, and Solomon, he loved many strange women. Besides his lawful wife, the daughter of Pharaoh, he loved so many strange women. The women of the Edomites, of the Ammonites, and of the Zidonians. The women that God had said that they should not go into, because these women would lead their hearts away from God. These Solomon clave to in love. Oh, my hearers. And there was a man by the name of Lamech. He was the first man in the Bible that had two wives. And then we find Abraham. He had concubines. And all the patriarchs followed him. And so likewise we find Solomon taking so many wives. He was living in luxury and ease. He was a wealthy king. And now he began to multiply wives and horses. Moses had given a commandment that the Israelites should not have horses, but he imported horses out of the land of Egypt. They were famous for their horses in this particular country. And now he accumulated so many horses and horsemen, and he also accumulated so many wives. Scripture says he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. 1,000 women this man had. Oh, can you imagine it? And the women, these strange women, they worshipped idol gods. And when he became old, it says, they turned his heart away from the Lord God of Israel. Oh, it hurts me, my hearers. I've prayed so much that God would never turn my heart away from him, because we're not any different than Solomon, not one bit different. We don't need much, my hearers, to turn our hearts away from God. I'm sure there's some of my hearers that say yea and amen to that. And this man, after living so close with God and having so many dealings with God, we find him departing from God. His wives, they got the best of him. Oh, my hearers, he gave way to the lust of the flesh. He gave way to his wives. He didn't change his religion. Oh, no. He still went up to the house of God. Oh, yes. But you know how he went. He left his first love. He had no more feeling for God. He had no more prayer to God either. It was only in form that he went up there. He didn't put the religion away. He didn't tell the people that they shouldn't serve God either. But he went up, just as he always did, to make a good appearance. But now what did he do? He began to listen to his wives. And now he set up a great temple of an idol god on a mountain, just facing the temple that he had built. He set up a temple for Chemosh, the idol of Moab. This idol was an idol that represented the moon, and this is what these people worshiped. They worshiped the moon as a god. And this woman that he had as a wife, he gave into her, he consented to her, and he set this idol temple right over against the temple where God had appeared unto him.
Wasn't this an awful mockery unto God? Could you believe that such a wise man, the wisest man that ever lived in this world, would ever fall into such sin? Oh, my hearers, well does the apostle say, see to it, ye that stand, that ye do not fall. And now not only did he set up this temple, but he also went after Ashtoreth, the god of the Zidonians. And then he set up an idol for Moloch. This idol, my hearers, the head was of a calf. This idol was worshipped as a god by these people. And this idol was made of brass completely. And it was hollow on the inside. And it had arms sticking out as if it would embrace you. And the people, they brought their little children to this idol. They heated this idol on the inside with a tremendous fire. And when the fire made this brass idol so red hot, then the people placed their little children in the arms of this god. And immediately the victim was consumed by the terrific heat that was on the inside of this idol. And when this was done, they used to play drums so that the shrieks of the children which were being consumed would not be heard. Can you imagine people doing this? Would you want to do that to any of your children, my dear hearers? I don't think any of us would want to sacrifice our children. And yet, if you were ignorant, and if you were born and brought up in it, you never know what you would do. Oh, this man Solomon, he knew better, and still he went along with these things. Oh, it was just as if he said, well, you can worship God anywhere. That don't make. That's how far sunk Solomon was after having such an appearance of God to him. Oh, my hearers, God has, in his wisdom, instituted that each man should have one wife. And where a man breaks this hedge and goes over the top of it, one, two, three are not enough. They'll take as many as they can. This is contrary to the word of God. And God, it appears, in and through Scripture, bared with many of his saints that committed this sin. But they had nothing else but vexation of spirit in their lives. They had nothing but trouble. Here we have this eminent man departing from God. And it says his wives turned his heart away from God. This is what strikes me. It isn't so bad yet that he worshiped these things outwardly and that he went along with his women in this respect. But when his heart was turned away from that God who he loved and who he feared and who he worshiped, you can't understand it. And still it says in the Bible, and it's true. And now God seen what this man was doing, and God became angry with Solomon. He didn't just look down and say, well, let him go. Oh, no. If you've sinned against God, he'll visit you for your sins. You only have I known of all the people of the earth, therefore will I visit you for your iniquities. And this text has made many a child of God tremble. Oh, many of them have feared because they have sinned so many times, and they think, oh, I wonder what God's going to bring upon me next. I wonder how he's going to visit me. Oh, I've sinned against him, and I deserve the rod. And so Solomon, God came and spake to him and told him that he had sinned so greatly against him and that he was going to rent the kingdom away from him. But because of David, his father's sake, he would not do it while Solomon was alive, but he would rent it from his son, who would likewise reign after him. And now, my hearers, we do not read of Solomon coming to repentance. You know, David, he sinned so terribly, but in Psalm 51 we find David coming back to God in true repentance, but we don't read of the repentance of Solomon. Was he lost? Did he apostatize?
impossible, my hearers. Whom God loves, he loves unto the end. We read very distinctly when he was born, his name was Jedediah because of the Lord, and the Lord loved him. In Ecclesiastes 7, verse 18 to 27, the commentaries say, we read there, of the repentance of Solomon. There he speaks about women and how that they had taken his heart away. Oh, his mother had given him so good advice, but he had not listened to his mother. His mother had told him, it is not wise for kings to let their hearts be taken away by their wives. But here his heart was taken away, my hearers. But Solomon, with his sin and with his apostasy, is still in glory above. We may thank God for his faithfulness, for his unchangeableness, and where he has commenced a good work of grace, and no matter how far that sinner may go from him, he will go after him, and he will bring him back to himself. And my time is gone, my hearers, again. The Lord willing, we will continue our history about Solomon's death, and likewise about his son Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Next week, the Lord willing, that's all for today.